Welcome to the SEI podcast series, a production of Carnegie Mellon University's Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center sponsored by the U.S. Department of Defense and operated by Carnegie Mellon University. A copy of today's podcast is available at the SEI website at www.sei.cmu.edu/podcasts. My name is Suzanne Miller. I'm a principal researcher here at the SEI, and today I'm very pleased to introduce my fellow colleague and researcher, Harry Levinson. Harry Levinson and I worked together on a project of the Air Force that he's going to talk about today, the Distributed Common Ground System. And I'm going to let Harry introduce himself and tell us a little bit about what he's been doing at the SEI for the last several years and before that as well.
I've been at the SEI for just over 10 years, working on a lot of different Air Force programs, mostly in the realm of what's called C4, command and control, communications and computers, everything from satellite terminals to business systems. The Air Force DCGS is a program that focuses on intelligence gathering, but the in order to do this requires a lot of computers, a lot of storage, a lot of networking. And bringing a lot of those skill sets from throughout the SEI to Air Force DCGS has, I think, been a good asset.
So this is a long-standing program, and it is now evolving sort of into its next life, I'll call it. And one of the big challenges has been, how do we get legacy programs like this to deliver more quickly than in the past? There's lots of things about how slow the acquisition system is in the Department of Defense, and DCGS is one of the programs that is trying some new approaches to that. So there are many things they're doing differently than they have in the past, but one of them, which is one of the things that I'm working on with you, is adopting agile methods. So do you want to talk a little bit about how they came to understand that as something that might be useful to them and what our role is in helping them with that?
Yes. They over the past 10, 15 years, they've built up some great capability. The problem has been that this capability is very, we call it stovepiped, that it's very hard to sustain and manage. We're trying to help them evolve that system using agile techniques, working in incremental, more iterative approaches to deliver capability in smaller chunks.
And that's a big deal for these guys, because there's lots of people that want to use those capabilities, and they're all on a different cadence, right? Some of them need it tomorrow, some of them need it 6 months from now. So one of the things that we're finding in other settings that use agile techniques is that we can prioritize things a little differently than we have in the past, and use some of that knowledge about the user and how they need, how and when they need things, to actually make deliveries a little bit more in time for the user. What are some of the unique challenges that DCGS has in relationship to that?
Well, DCGS has a lot of different engineering groups that are have been focused on different parts of the system, and getting them in the same schedule synchronization is very difficult, and especially as they've been working in their legacy systems, they had a lot of problems as more and more capability was put into a single release. Getting all that integrated and synchronized was very difficult, and we're trying to help them understand, you know, moving to smaller releases and smaller delivery of capability will help them synchronize their delivery, and being able to get into a more regular cadence of delivery will help them understand and develop their processes for delivering on a regular basis.
And the other thing that comes into play with this is, as you said, is integration. When we have these stovepipe kinds of system elements, there's a lot of interfaces. When you're dealing with a lot of sensor data and you're trying to process that and fuse that and distribute that out to the people that need it, getting the right interface is a big problem in those kinds of systems. And so one of the things that we get with Agile is we get faster feedback. So if we have interfaces that don't work right, we find out about it sooner, and we get a more robust kind of interface across the set of things, the common kinds of set of things that DCGS is partly about.
Right.
So what do you see as the biggest challenge that an organization like DCGS that has the stovepipes already in place and has all these very different ways of dealing with how they do contracting, how they do engineering, when they move to this iterative, incremental, small batch, faster delivery, what do you see as the challenges they're facing?
My experience as a software engineer throughout my career has been mostly over on the commercial side. Mm-hmm. And on the commercial side, being able to adapt to new technologies, to new different processes, is a lot easier. And what I learned when I came to the Software Engineering Institute and to be able to work with government programs, I found that the ability to adapt and to change the way that systems are acquired, quite often it's very difficult for these organizations to change. And so being able to help them understand the direction that they want to go and being able to show them a path for change, I think is very important to helping them deliver this capability on a more regular basis.
So one of the things that I see, so my role in this is to help explicitly with the Agile adoption and helping them with the changes that they are going to be facing, is to help them with training. And what are some of the topics that if you were to recommend to another program, if you're going to get involved in Agile, what kinds of things do you want to make sure you get training about so that you're ready for this when it comes into your program?
There are lots of different Agile methodologies out there. Getting familiar with the basic tenets, the Agile Manifesto, mm-hmm. is a good start.
Right.
But there's lots of different methodologies that, just pick one. Just start with understanding some of the techniques that are out there.
Sure.
From a government setting, you're probably not going to be actually doing the development, but understanding how the contractors are going to be doing their work is very important. Being able to bring the Agile principles into a program office, into a government setting, like I was saying earlier, is a huge change. It's very difficult for people to change.
Sure. Well, people. Yeah. One of the things that is a truism is that nobody likes to be changed. Right. Everyone will change, but nobody likes to be changed. And so, understanding how this can benefit your role is one of the things that we try to help people with in some of the training and things that we do with them, as well as the coaching.
Right. One of the other differences between a lot of different commercial settings and the government is the government programs are often very big.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to take commercial techniques into government settings means you have to figure out how to scale.
Sure.
And there are multiple versions of scaling Agile out there.
Sure.
That help programs try to deal with the multiple teams, the different value streams that exist as you're trying to develop programs. And there's lots of courses out there that that people can take. And one of the things that, that you've been able to help us deliver is a combination of here's some of the challenges that we have in the government, mm-hmm. and here's the scaled Agile models that we have. How can we blend those together?
And that turns out to be pretty important, because when you do the scaling, as you talk about, mm-hmm. we're not just talking about now the software development. The software development teams, which are the contracted teams typically, are doing the development. The government is interacting with them, but they're not actually doing the development for the most part. But what the government is doing is the systems engineering, determining the architecture, determining how things are going to get deployed, determining how they're going to get tested. And that stuff's got to interact with the incremental iterative thing. One of the challenges that I'm seeing that is not uncommon in other settings, but DCGS exhibits it's all, also exhibits this, is figuring out how to test these things in a government setting. Because in the government, we have a development test organization, an operational test organization that are really siloed away from the acquisition and meant to be independent and, you know, have these mandates. But you really want them to be more integrated into the development cycle. So kind of trying to break down some of those cultural norms. DCGS is out on the cutting edge of that particular process. And my observation so far is they're actually taking that very seriously.
They are trying to do that. They are taking that very seriously. They are trying to figure out how to do all the different levels of test, from the development test at the contractor level, and bringing that into a integration lab,
right,
and then moving that up through the various what they call DT and OT type developmental testing and operational testing, and then the final certification. The big challenge there is that in order to get systems into use, they have to go through all those levels of test and to be on a regular schedule,
right,
regular cadence. You know, whether that getting that down to 30 days is almost like dreaming. It's very difficult to do.
Yeah, biting an elephant, you know, one chunk at a time,
somewhere.
Or eating an elephant,
that's
one chunk at a time. You know, you have to start somewhere before you can get to the final place. And that's really, that incremental strategy is one that we're also seeing in the adoption, not just in the development, in terms of not trying to bite off too much as we go forward.
We are working on just a few pilot projects with them. So that, like you say, that, you know, the recommendation is not to switch over in one day. Is to start small, start with one or two projects,
learn
from
fast.
Those, learn fast, and being able to adjust fast.
Mm.
Right? You know, you can learn, but you also have to be willing to change and adjust as you learn that something isn't working.
Yes, in agile communication, we call that inspect and adapt.
Okay.
We go after that.
Yes.
So this program, we're in the middle of pilots, and what is it that you see sort of as the next challenge once we've got things kind of rolling out in the agile space? What are some of the other things that you hope that the SEI can help the DCGS program with?
As we've been speaking about the incremental and the iterative approach, the fact that the government has to take over the understanding of the architecture and control a lot of the higher level decisions, mm-hmm, so that it'll enable the contracting agile teams to work effectively. That actually starts to bring in a lot of concepts that the Department of Defense is trying to encourage, which is owning the technical baseline and open systems architecture. And those are all very good models for getting a better technical understanding of the systems and being able to make decisions. And they both help divide a larger system into smaller chunks and enables the movement of the decisions of the program office to being able to contract out smaller software applications or software modules to different contracting teams.
So that interfaces and with the Agile, so these are things that sort of contribute to each other, the open systems and the government as the integrator. Working in smaller batches is very compatible with the agile, iterative, small batch approach as well. So these are all things that we hope together will synergize some of the the program challenges into new solutions, right?
Right, definitely. The the moving with the Agile methodology and the software development technique or architectural techniques, mm-hmm. I should say, as they become more compatible, it definitely makes the ability to be more iterative and incremental feasible.
Excellent. So I want to thank you for joining us, Harry, and your article on the year in the Year in Review, which is the SEI's annual fiscal year publication about all our projects. I hope people will go and look for that because it's a very interesting article. I am involved in it myself, I guess I have to say that. You can download a PDF of that at our digital library, sei.cmu.edu/year-in-review, and that's all three words smashed together. And it doesn't only showcase our work with customers, it showcases our research work, so it's a good publication to get oriented around the SEI and its work. This podcast is available on the SEI website, as I said before, at sei.cmu.edu/podcast, and on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes U site. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact us at info@sei.cmu.edu. Thank you for watching.